loud right now. Come on. Say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I open my heart and I open my ears and I expect you to speak to me and minister to me right where I am. My heart is open. My ears are open. And I thank you for ministering to me through your word right now in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for this Bible, these precious, precious words that came from you. Thank you, Lord. Today, Lord, you speak to us. You minister to us. Open our eyes up in this series we're about to start today. Let your voice speak to us clearly about the future, about what's next, about what is about to happen. Lord, we just thank you for it. We give you praise for it. Lord, we're thankful that we're not a people who are in the dark. We're not a people that have to rely on theories. But Lord, we have the good book, the words of God that never change, never become obsolete. And Lord, we just thank you. What you've spoken in this book, you see to it that it's done. And we thank you for it. Lord, we are a precious people who serve a precious and powerful and wonderful God. And we are so grateful for your word. We just give you praise right now in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen. Amen. Give your neighbor a high five and you can be seated. Amen. I got a friend of mine. When I went back to Norville's Bible School and I spoke for a week at school, I didn't realize at the time this man was a student, but we've become friends through the years. Powerful speaker. Travels all over the world doing missions work. But he wrote this, Words of Wisdom, and I thought it was really good. I wanted to share it with you real quick. He says, this is my words of wisdom. Buy the red car. People will say you should have got the blue one. Start a business. People will say you should have gotten a job. Get married. People will say you picked the wrong partner. Learn a trade. People will tell you you should have went to college. Everyone has an opinion about everything. You'll go crazy trying to please everybody. Don't even try. Listen. Smile. Agree. And then do whatever the heck you want to do. Amen? How many of you know you can't make everybody happy? Amen. That's some good wisdom, isn't it? Do what God's called you to do. Hallelujah. Well, amen. You ready for today? I'm ready. I had something happen to me this morning. I changed the whole message. But it's still a part of the message. Are you ready? Yeah. You want to hold the little light for me? Okay. Chase has known what I was going to preach on, and we've been talking about it. I'm excited about this. But I want to talk to you about the body of Christ, in my opinion, has a failed grasp of the big picture. I really believe that. We really need to wake up. God's going to do exactly what His Word says, not your theory. Not what you think. He's going to do what His Word says. And I want to start today and kind of lay some groundwork for what I'm going to share. Over the next, I believe, three messages is what I told Pastor Matthew. I want to take you through line upon line what's going to happen in the days we're living in. How many of you know the last, whatever, what is it, 60 days now that we've been in conflict with Iran? How many of you know there's been a lot of good things that have taken place? You know, there was a teenage girl that they executed because she told somebody about Jesus. These people are crazy. They're the real dictators in the world. They've got technology coming in from China right now. China wants to test out their stuff against us. Y'all need to wake up. I'll tell you this, too, just for what it's worth. All the nations that will be in the Ezekiel 38 war have all shaken hands and have a military treaty at this point. That means all the nation players are in place for World War III.
Now, that being said, you better get a grasp on the big picture. There's not much prophecy left to fulfill right now. The only one that comes to my mind that I think is kind of powerful is Damascus laying in ruins. You know, when Joe Morris talks, he always talks about Jesus coming back, the rapture, trumpet sounding. We meet him in the air. But he always says we know we're close by seeing what the Ezekiel 38 war, the players coming into play, all the different signs that show we're about to see the Lord. Hallelujah. And you should be excited about that. I'm going to give you a scripture as to why you should be excited about that. There are things going on that the media is not talking about. And I know people get all upset about politics and stuff. You know, one song says, people down at the bar talking peanuts and politics, they think they know what's going on, but they don't know next to nothing. There are things happening right now you don't know. And you really need to get a grasp of the big picture. Jesus is coming. I said Jesus is coming. You know, C.S. Lewis once made this statement. He said, there are two ways to be fooled. One is to believe what isn't so, and the second is to refuse to believe what is so. Amen? Two ways to be fooled. One is to believe what isn't so, the other is to believe or to refuse to believe what is. The Word of God is true. Amen. But I want to lay some groundwork. Next Sunday, we're going to go line upon line of events that are going to take place. Some have already started. And I want to lay some things out. You know, end times is easy to understand. A lot of people, to me, they're gimmick preachers. They want to throw different things out there and get people scared or get people... You know, if end time preaching scares you, you didn't hear the good news. You should be excited about Jesus coming back. You should be ready to run. I mean, run to him. Amen. You know what? Your job is to decrease so that he can increase in you. Your job is to be the clay and let him be the potter. Come on. He wants to use you right now. But man, we get angry about stuff. We want to kill people. Body of Christ these days has become murderers just like the other side. Verbally. Attack. I'm telling you what, nations will bow to Jesus, including the United States. Nations will bow. You are to bow to him too. You better worship him for who he is, not for what he does. Because the king is coming. And you better be ready. Amen. Revelations chapter 2 and verse 7. This is from the Amplified. And again, the note page you got today, we're going to be doing all that, okay? We're going to do a good bit of that next Sunday. But today, you might want to turn that page over and take good notes, okay? Revelation 2:7 in the Amplified says, he who has an ear. How many of you got ears on your head? Come on, hold your hand up. You got two? Y'all heard my theory about my ears, right? When I was a little kid, I thought God made a mistake putting ears on my head. They're in the wrong place. They should have been on my top of my head. Because when I was born, I had a collapsed eardrum, and I couldn't get in the water. Anytime I got underwater, my ears would get infected. It was terrible. I'd scream at night in pain. My mother warming up oil to go in my ear to soothe the pain. I thought, God, you made a mistake. Ears should have been on the top of her head. That way I can wade out in the water and get as deep as I want and not go in my ear. Of course, I always thought we should have a mouth down here too. And it should be four times bigger than the mouth we have now. For some of you, that'd get you in a lot of trouble, wouldn't it? Amen. I always thought that'd be cool, because that way if I had a big turkey leg or something, I could eat that thing and hide it in there. I thought, man, I really want that hot fudge cake. I could reach in there and pull that turkey leg back out and I could have my hot fudge cake. Yeah, I always thought God made a mistake. Aren't you glad I'm not God? Y'all look weird. Amen. But what's this verse say? Say, he who has an ear. You got ears? Come on. Those farmers got big ears. Let him hear and heed. Hear and heed. Listen and obey. Let him hear and heed. Listen and obey what the Spirit is saying to the churches. You're part of the body of Christ, right? He's talking to you. Point to yourself, say, he's talking to me. He says, to him who overcomes the world through believing that Jesus is the Son of God, I will grant thee privilege to eat the fruit from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Boy, I like that, don't you? If you got ears to hear, you need to listen to what we're going to talk about for the next three services. Listen up. The king's coming back. He's coming back, whether you're ready for it or not. If I were you, I would get ready and be excited. Because he's coming back. I said he's coming back. He's coming back. One day that trumpet's going to sound and we're going to meet him in the air. Woo! And boy, are you going to have a party. You think it gets loud here at the Lord's church? You ain't heard nothing till you get to heaven and Jesus comes up in that purple robe. And lightning and thunder comes across the platform. It's going to be one rock show that you'll never forget because we're rocking on the rock. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. You ought to be excited about his coming. Everything's going to change before long. Everything. Everybody shout everything. Well, the last couple months, I felt really impressed, and I need to talk about the times we're living in. And, I think it's wrong if a pastor doesn't every once in a while share some things. Because I think it's important. You should be excited about Jesus' return. You should be excited about what's about to happen to the earth. Amen. You should be excited about it. I can't keep saying that today. You should be excited about it. Amen. You should be excited. You know, the scripture tells us this. It says, talking about the sons of Issachar, said they were praised because they what? Understood the times and knew what Israel should do. They understood the times. You should understand the days and the hours and the times that we're living in right now. Amen. You should be more excited about Jesus than you've ever been in your life. You should be more hungry for more of him than you've ever been hungry for him ever in your life. Amen. I was thinking about it today, this morning, you know, when I first got saved. I mean, I'd do anything. When I went to Bible college, man, we got up on cars and parking lots and preached. When's the last time you did something crazy like that? You should be excited about the things of God. It should matter to you more than anything else because the king's coming. He's coming. I said he's coming. You should know the hour and the times in which we are living in. You know, on one hand, we're seeing political leadership around the world swearing oaths on books that deny Christ. Some will profess their faith by putting their hand on a Bible. How many of you know your Bible's precious? I know we're an electronic bunch these days, but there's just something precious about holding the very, very, very Word of God in your hand. For thousands of years, it's been passed. And now, with technology, we have some of the best Bibles ever made. And there's something precious about His Word. Your Bible says, my Bible says, to study to show yourself approved. Somebody that won't have a reason to be ashamed. Your Bible says, and my Bible says, that you're supposed to take heed to the words he speaks. In other words, it's numero uno, baby. You put it first. I mean, you know,
So many national moments of celebration. I loved watching the splashdown. Did y'all watch that? That was so cool. What was really cool was seeing pictures of the Apollo moon landing site and the tracks where the astronauts' feet were. You can go look at the reconnaissance probes and stuff, and you can see their footprints still there because the moon dust doesn't blow. Still there. So exciting to see that. So exciting to see American triumph. How about it? Come on. Man, I'm so thankful I know Jim Dalton, who worked on the Saturn V. What a privilege. Amen. Yes, bet it was. I bet you all sat and cried when that thing took off. All that work. Every gasket, every washer, every bolt. To watch it rattle and take off that pad. It was so cool watching Artemis take off from its pad in the same spot. What a privilege it is to be alive today. Amen. So many national moments of celebration. And you know, intentionally we should celebrate. We highlight what God's Word has done for us, what He's done for our country, what He's done for each one of us. But there are moments of celebration internationally and around the world where they highlight what God's Word calls sin. They highlight the sin. These aren't isolated incidents. Listen to me. These are signals as to what's next. The only thing keeping the Antichrist from showing his ugly head, or he'll be beautiful. When you're gone, he'll show up on the scene and people are going to fall in love with this character. And then suddenly, he will seek to destroy Israel. There are things right now that the body of Christ is holding back the destructive one. There's coming a time when the trumpet sounds and what the one that's all of us that are holding back the son of perdition, as it reads in Thessalonians, we're going to be gone. And boy, everything will suddenly change. Let me tell you something. The last few weeks, you know, I don't know about you, but it's been incredible how things could change at the drop of a hat. And I don't think you realize how fast all the dominoes would fall all at once. All of a sudden, Damascus is wiped out and the trumpet sounds within seconds. Are you ready for that? Because this is where we're at as the world right now. Russia has no love for you. North Korea has no love for you. All these nations who have signed treaties, man, the whole Chinese thing with Iran's scary. That's prophesied in the Word. You should be ready more than ever before that Jesus is coming. You should have people here filling the house. You should be telling people about the King is coming. Amen. Amen. This isn't about hatred. The things we're seeing around the world is not about hatred. They are signals. This isn't about fear. They are signals. This isn't about discernment. It is signals. And I want you to know something about our nation. We serve the greatest, we have the greatest nation on the face of the earth. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
We do. And I think there's more an excitement about it as well. I know through the years people have been saying that America is losing its way, but there's a certain percentage that are choosing its way. There's a certain percentage that's trying to choose its way. And I want you to know this today. The Bible never promised that nations would honor God forever. You will not find it. In fact, Scripture is very clear that the world would move further away from the truth, not closer, as the end approaches. We're seeing there's an insurgent now of people wanting to do right around the world. Certain world leaders, I think Italy was one, several others, they're making changes because they see how far wrong policies have taken them to where their countries are being destroyed from the inside out. and they're making these changes. But you need to understand, people aren't losing their way, they're choosing a way. This is why you're supposed to seek and save the lost, as Jesus told us to. This is why you are supposed to be an ambassador for Him, not a hate-filled person that wants to fight with somebody. Because the King is coming. You won't take your car with you. I will not take my hot rod with me. Somebody else may break into my house after we're out of here and steal my car. It's just a thing. But eternity is everything. All your money you think you have ain't gonna mean much to nothing when you stand in His presence. That's why you ought to be excited about giving. Let the kingdom come. Let the kingdom come. The Bible never promised that nations would honor God forever. Nope. The scripture is clear that the world would move further away from the truth and not closer as the end approaches. And really, folks, what we're witnessing in the world, even in our nation, in Canada, in Latin America, in South America, in Brazil, there's some things in Brazil right now, astounding. What we're witnessing is not a random cultural drift. It is an open spiritual declaration. Are you hearing me today? Leadership reflects allegiance. Celebration reveals values. Values are what you believe, what you hold to be true, what you will die fighting for. Values are the things we instill in our kids because we want them to grow up right and act like somebody. Pull their britches up and be somebody. We put value in them so they are rock solid. Amen. But leadership will reflect that allegiance to God. If you have values that have allegiance to the Lord, leadership will reflect that. Celebration reveals the values you hold to be true. Platforms, listen to me, platforms preach sermons whether we want to admit it or not. Let me say it again. Platforms will preach sermons whether we want to admit it or not. What is the danger, Pastor? Well, the danger for us as Christians is not that the world is acting like the world. The danger is when the church stops recognizing it for what it is. Let me say it again. This is the best sermon you're going to hear today. The danger for the body of Christ, for the church, universal, is not that the world is acting like the world. The danger is when the church stops recognizing it. Paul warned Timothy. Listen to what I'm telling you. Paul warned Timothy that a time would come when people would no longer endure sound doctrine, but would gather teachers together that would affirm and tickle their ears for what they already desire. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3. That's the reference. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 3. You know, time the whole fact that time is not coming, folks, that we're talking about here where people can't endure sound doctrine, it's not that time's not coming. It's here right now. It's here right now. People get offended about all sorts of stuff these days. Jesus talked about people being offended and falling away from Him. We're there. We're here right now. Filled with anger. For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son. Folks, this whole thing is here now. And yet, listen to what I'm telling you. This is not a time for you and me to panic. Everybody say panic. It's not a time for us to panic. It's a time for us to wake up. Can you say those words with me? It is time for me to wake up. Amen. I always thought it'd be cool. Matthew lived with us. Your dad, Hannah, lived with us, you know, for a long time in our basement. And Matthew is a very sound sleeper. Are you still a sound sleeper like that? Okay, can I tell a little bit? Matthew had, how many alarm clocks did you have? 5, 6? You know, you don't remember now. He had a baseball alarm clock. And if it went off, he could pick it up and throw it across the room. But it wouldn't shut off. It would let you snooze for a couple more minutes. And then he'd come back on, and he'd have to get up out of bed to find that ball to shut it off. You know, I always thought it'd be cool if I could have put an air raid siren in Pat Matthew's room when he was in our basement. And that way, when the alarm clock went off, you ever heard an air raid siren? Those tornado sirens is about the closest thing we have to that now. They wind up. I can't do anymore. I'm going to pass out. But I thought it'd be cool if we had an air raid siren in his bedroom, because that way when he turned that alarm clock off, he'd have to wait for it to wind down. I don't know about you, but I'd bet my fanny up out of bed right then, buddy. Got to turn that thing off. Well, I'm going to tell you today, Jesus is coming back. And the trumpet's going to sound. And you won't get to turn it off. You better be ready. You better be expecting the Lord to show up. Because it's going to happen, buddy. And you don't want to be here after that happens. Paul warned Timothy. Warned him. He said, well, I've heard all this before. It's different right now. Things that have been prophesied have already happened and come to pass. You need to wake up. Sometimes we want to think, well, I'm going to do this and this and this. You need to live each day as if He's coming right now. Because He is. You don't know when it would be. Maybe He tarries and we fall asleep and we wake up in His presence. Maybe that happens. But no matter what, you ought to be expecting Him right now. Amen. This is my warm-up message. Let me tell you something. It's a call for us to wake up. Jesus told us to watch, stay alert, to be faithful, not famous. Can I say that again? I ought to really step on your toes. Because a lot of us want to be famous. We want to make sure we can do this, make this money, make that money, do this and that. Own this or that. Listen to me. Jesus told us to watch. He told us to stay alert. He told us to be faithful. Say that word with me. Faithful. He told us to be faithful, not famous. To be holy, not popular. You ready for this? He called you and me to be anchored and not applauded. If your faith only works when the culture agrees with it, it was never faith for any of you anyway. It was nothing but convenience. Let me say that again. If your faith, this is one of them sermons, buddy, you got to curl them big toes up. If your faith only works when culture agrees with you, it was never faith to begin with. It was convenience. Faith requires something from you. You're supposed to believe it. You're supposed to believe Him. You're supposed to believe this Word. But we've gotten so filled with having the Word on a phone or on an iPad that we don't even treasure the Bible we have. You better treasure this Word, because, buddy, when the trumpet sounds, what you believe is going to put you face to face with the Master. Are you ready for that? Yeah.
So what you going to say now, Pastor? Oh, I'm glad you asked. My air raid siren's winding up. Now is the time for you as a believer to know what you believe. Number two, you need to live what you confess, what you believe. Number three, you need to love people without affirming lies. You're called to be an ambassador of the Master. Is your lantern lit? Or does it look like this? I'll burn out. This is a Southern Railroad lantern. In a dark night, you can see it when it's lit up. We always rely on something to make us feel better, to feel good about ourselves. But you should know the word where you feel good all the time and your lantern's always lit. The wick's trim, the oil is in, you're ready to rock. You should know what you believe. You should live what you confess. You should love people without affirming lies. You should speak the truth without compromise. Folks, the darker the hour, the clearer the lantern should be shining in you. Come on, that's good preaching. The darker the hour, the clearer the lantern, the light should be in you. So don't be so shocked by what you see. You're called to be sober-minded. Y'all know those verses. You're called to be sober-minded. You're called to be grounded in the Scriptures. You're called to know His voice, His promptings, His leadings. You know Him better than anything. That's why you've heard me say it before. People are going to anticipate. They're about to blow the trumpet. Why? Because you're so in tune with the Word and the Holy Ghost, you know it's about to happen. You'll raise up in the bed maybe. It's time. And boom. There you are in His presence. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for that? You ought to be excited. What Joe Morris says, you should be running towards the finish line. Not finding excuses not to cross it. You should run towards the finish line. You should bring everybody in the stands with you. Amen. This is why the great cloud of witnesses is saying, go, baby, go. Get it done. It's almost time. We got the horses ready for the last ride. You're going to come up and help us finish that. And then after 7 years, the Master's coming back and He's going to set foot on the Mount of Olives and it's going to split wide open. And Jesus will rule all the nations of the world for 1,000 years. You ought to be excited about the things of God now more than ever. Not playing with the things of God. He doesn't like that, by the way. You are to be sober-minded, you are to be grounded in Scriptures, and you are to be what?
Ready.
I can't hear you.
Ready.
You are to be what?
Ready.
Well, I want you to get this today. You need to understand the times we are in isn't about obsessing over headlines. Yes, I said it. You need to understand that the times we're living in is not to be obsessing over headlines. It's about standing firm in truth when the world celebrates rebellion. Oh, that's a good preaching. Way to go, James. Way to go. You should be not obsessing about headlines, but you should be standing firm in the truth. Because when the world celebrates rebellion, you should be celebrating the victory. Amen? Amen. Amen. We started with the verse in Revelations. Let me read it again. If you've got an ear to hear, you need to hear. Let Him hear what and heed. Listen and obey what the Spirit says to the churches. He's talking to you. To Him who overcomes the world through believing that Jesus is the Son of God. Do you believe He's the Son of God? Oh, I do. I will grant, think about it.
You believe he's the Son of God, right?
Yes.
Say it with me. Say, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Well, he says in Revelations here, he says, I will grant the privilege for you and me. He's granting the privilege if we confess him. The fruit of from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Do you know you're going to see all that? Did you know when you get to heaven and the crystal sea's there, you can walk in and breathe underwater? Wow. This is the coolest body of water I've ever been in. I don't have to worry about where my ears are. I'm all cool. Can you imagine the banquet table? Boy, we're going to have a party and a half once the trumpet sounds. Man! Don't you want to bring everybody you know with you?
Amen. Amen. Yes.
You gave me life, O Lord, when I was unlovable. You gave me peace when I had no peace. You changed my life when I thought my life was over. When I had an airman's pistol in my bedroom loading bullets in it, because I thought my life was over, Jesus came. You serving him is what it's all about. Amen. Jesus said in Luke 19 and verse 10 in the New Living Translation, he says, for the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are. What are we doing? We need to get busy. Amen. It always cracks me up when I read about the resurrection. Mary did not recognize Jesus. She thought it was just the gardener. Will you hear his trumpet? Will you hear his voice when he calls you? He came for purpose, and now you are his purpose. It's time to let go of the weights and chains and sins that so easily beset us and run towards the prize. Because the King is coming. Amen. He warned us in John 16:33, in this world you'll have trouble. One translation says tribulation. But he told you and me to take heart. Put a big smile on your face. I've overcome everything for you. I got you. I got you six. I got you covered. Just do what my word says. Best days of your life are ahead of you. Honor me. Serve me. Don't worry about trouble. I got it. I already got it. I done got it. Thank you, Dandelion. Next Sunday, we're going to pick up here. And I'm going to talk to you about the Antichrist. I'm going to talk to you about the return of Jesus, the trumpet. I'm going to talk to you about the 7 years that you won't be here for. But I want to leave you with a story today, real quick. And y'all have heard me say this before if you've been with us since the beginning. I love trains. My great-great-grandfather, Matthew's great-grandfather, he was the longest employee of Southern Railway. So I looked high and low to find a Southern Railway lantern. Our great-grandfather was the most respected man in Tazewell, Tennessee. They had revivals on his property. Trains would stop on the property and let people get off the train. They had huge tents set up, and they'd have church for weeks. For weeks. But the story goes, a long time ago, that there was, back when the steam engines were running big. And the way the story goes, there was a shack, you know, beside the track back then. They didn't have crossing arms that went down with bells that rang and all that, and lights flashing. They had a little shack with a pot of coffee and a pot-bellied stove inside. And somebody would be there working for the railroad, and they would have to come out at night or even during the day with their lantern and wave that lantern to stop cars so they wouldn't get hit by those big steam engines. You ever been around a steam engine with a full head of steam? It's something to see. You'll never forget it. Dad and I, we rode the Rails the Rocket special from Chattanooga, Tennessee to Huntsville, Alabama. Went to the Rocket Museum together. And boy, riding that train, they stopped halfway down to Huntsville, and you could get off that train, and the train backed up the hill, I don't know how far, but buddy, it came down to do a drive-by. And it ain't nothing like it. Old guys out there with their cameras and stuff, taking pictures and stuff as that train went by. And you talk about power, there's no stopping that steam engine when it's coming with a full head of steam. And being on that train, you could stick your head out the window and get the soot in your hair. They gave you those painter goggles you could wear if you wanted to stick your head way out there. And the soot would bounce off those lenses as you're going down the railroad, down the tracks. But this story goes that one stormy night, there was a group of teenagers who'd been partying, and they had daddy's car. And they were running down this back road as fast as they could. Because you know, back then, cars were hot rods before they were known as hot rods. Eight cylinders, all them barrels kicking hard. And this old guy sat in that little shack beside the railroad track next to where the road crosses the railroad track. His job was to get out there with his lantern and wave that light and stop people from running over the tracks while the train's coming. Well, one night during that storm, these teenagers were rolling down that road as fast as they could. He heard the whistle blow. He saw out the window there was headlights. He ran as fast as he could with his lantern after he grabbed it. And he stood out there and he waved with all of his might. But the car kept coming. It never slowed down. The train kept coming. Never slowed down. The car kept coming. The train kept coming. And finally, he had to jump out of the way. And as soon as those teenagers crossed those tracks, that big steam engine killed everybody in that car. And back then, it's pretty hard to crush an old car. They were made better. And when that train hit that car, it literally crumpled it up so bad, they have had welders come out and cut those kids' bodies out of that car. In an instant, they found eternity. Well, of course, there was a big lawsuit. And the lawyers for both sides, the railroad lawyer, the lawyer for the parents, they all had their arguments. They all had witnesses come up and stuff. But finally, you know, they couldn't prove anything. And at the end, where they're doing closing arguments, I love watching the old Perry Mason show. And when they get to where they got a closing argument, all of a sudden the killer's revealed. Well, this is what happened that day. The lawyer for the parents, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. And he told the whole story all over again. People were crying. And as he closed his arguments, he said, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, and he went and grabbed the lantern that the man waved that night. He goes, I got one question to ask. Just one. And it has not been asked. But I got to know, was your lantern lit? And that old guy fell to his knees weeping. Oh my God, my lantern wasn't lit. It's my fault. The Lord's asking you right now, is your lantern lit? Are you my ambassador? Will you put your politics aside and win the lost? Will you change this world for me? Will you be somebody for heaven? Because I'm coming back. And when I do, there'll be no chance for surrender after that trumpet sounds. Is your lantern lit today? Have you put the oil in as the word in your heart and you're so excited about it you have to tell everybody you meet? You could tell the person at Kroger. You can tell the person at Walmart. You can tell the person next door. You could tell everybody because Jesus is asking you today, is your lantern lit? Are you just sitting out there waving it and smiling because you want to look like you're somebody? I'm telling you, there's coming a time when you won't have any opportunity to be somebody. You better be somebody for the kingdom. So today, every head bowed, every eye closed, before we let you go today, if you know the Lord, I'm not asking you to raise your hand. I'm just asking you one more time, is your lantern lit? Will you tell somebody today about Jesus? That's why we like blessing our servers, because I want them to know that God loves them so much, He wants to take care of them. We've touched multiple people's lives doing that. The girl at the counter at Stacks Saturday, I want to make sure I left extra, even though they put a fee on there. They pre-charge gratuity now. But I still wanted to do more, because Jesus loves them. What are you doing right now to tell somebody about Him? You just biding your time till you can retire and move and do whatever you want? Listen, Jesus is coming whether that happens or not. Will your kids die and go to hell because you're not doing what you should be doing? This stuff is serious business. Heaven's serious business. The King is coming. The trumpet's going to sound. Will you be ready? Let alone your family, are you ready? Because He's coming. He's coming. Ready or not. In a matter of seconds, everything in the Middle East could rock hard. And in a matter of seconds, that trumpet would sound and we'd all disappear. You talk about panic. You talk about fear, trembling. This world is not going to be the same. Is your lantern lit? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm challenging you today as your pastor. You need to live for Him like you've never lived for Him before. If you're watching online or you're here today and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, boy, what the best day ever to ask Him in your heart. Why don't you do that right now? It's easy. Just ask the Lord. Say, Jesus, come pray with me, church. We'll pray with you. If that's you, you pray with us. Say it with me, church. Jesus, I believe that You came, that You died for me, and that You were raised from the dead. Father God, I ask You to forgive me of all my sins. Jesus, come into my heart. Make me brand new. From this day forward, I will live all of my life for You. Until I see You face to face. What a day that's going to be. Thank You for saving me. Thank You for delivering me. Thank You for saving me. If that's you and you prayed that prayer, oh, come on. There's an email we'll put on the screen in a moment. I want to come back to this picture, though.